Well, this morning we come to the fifth out of the eight Beatitudes. These are not eight random statements of Jesus, but rather they're a progression of things that need to be true in each one of our lives. And before I read the text for us this morning, I have to read something else. For Sandy and I in our devotion this morning, there was portions there that just kind of jumped off the page at me, and I was like, oh, wow. You know, the timing of God, how God does things is amazing. And I just have to read a few paragraphs here that just tie in so beautifully to what we've been talking about the last few weeks. You know, it says, many of us get so caught up in the cultural norms of society that we actually embrace its gods. We can become driven by one or more of many things that we think are important, such as pride, money, reputation, materialism, sex, power, body image, work, and even food. Reformer John Calvin wrote, "The human mind is a perpetual factory of idols." Think about that for a little while. The human mind is a perpetual factory of idols. In Tim Keller's book, Counterfeit Gods, he says, idols are spiritual addictions that can lead to terrible evil. I thought, wow, there's another good quote right there. And then it goes on and says, if we are not engaging in the things of God, we can be sure more and more idols will present themselves. When we allow material things of this world to engage and dominate our lives, we live in spiritual poverty. What have we been talking about the last number of weeks? We need to recognize we are poor in spirit, which ultimately leads to dissatisfaction and ruin. Getting rid of idols is not always easy. Their roots can go very deep, and it's often a process, but one in which we have the Lord's help to work through. Before any change can take place externally, we have to deal with the internal by allowing the Holy Spirit to expose the idols that have become barriers to experiencing God and confess them. Christ indwells us not as an addiction to anything, but so that he may be Lord of our lives. He is all the resource we need, and if we have set up alternative idols within our hearts, we need him that much more. And as we read that this morning, I just couldn't help but think that is exactly, in a summary, what we've been talking about over the last 5 weeks of looking at these Beatitudes. And so with that, we come this morning to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, which says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You know, to be merciful is to be compassionate. And this is actually where the rubber meets the road in our day-to-day Christian life. We cannot separate our relationship with God from our relationship with one another, with others, with people. For what God does in us is designed to express itself through us in such things as compassion and mercy and kindness to others. In fact, to love God is to love our neighbor. The Apostle John wrote in his epistle in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, he says, if anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. You know, anyone can say, I love God. But you will know the reality of that in the person's life by how they love those around them. And the evidence of our love for God is seen by our love, our compassion, our attitude of mercy towards others. And that love for others will actually reach out and it will encompass the whole world. That's why we're involved in world missions. For we are to have a God-loving concern for others, no matter who they are or where they live. Now, before we carry on talking about this statement that Jesus makes, blessed are the merciful. Let me just point out that these Beatitudes that Jesus has given to us primarily deal with an attitude of the heart, the attitude of our heart. These are not just a list of rules of behavior, but rather they are to be the heart attitude of the Christian believer, which then governs their behavior. For example, to be poor of spirit is not something you do. It's the attitude of your heart. It's the disposition you have toward yourself. To mourn your condition is an attitude of heart that you adopt. To be meek and submit yourself to Christ will involve choices that you have to make along the way, that's true, but it essentially is an attitude of your heart of humility and submission and surrender to God. To hunger and thirst for righteousness is a consequence of an attitude of heart that God puts in us. You see, there's a danger of approaching the Christian life from the perspective, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Which is a valid question, but the real issue is about, what am I intended to be? And when I am what I'm intended to be, what I'm intended to do will become the outworking of the expression of my heart of who I am. So the Beatitudes are addressing what we're supposed to be, and our doing becomes an outworking of what we're supposed to be. We're not to be driven by external rules. We're to be driven by an outworking of a changed heart. You know, God spoke to Ezekiel, and he gave him the difference between the covenant of the Old Testament and the new covenant that was to come. And in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26, we read, God says to him, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. You know, the old covenant that gave the law of God, it gave the law of God, but the new covenant, God says, I'm going to put my spirit in you. And the result is I will move you to follow my decrees. It's the attitude of our heart that needs to change. And as a result of a changed heart, it will change our behavior. You know, these Beatitudes are all about attitude. They could actually be called the Beatitude attitude. Because this is what the Beatitudes are all about. They're about our attitude. And from this morning's text, Jesus says, blessed are the merciful. You know, we first need to, first of all, understand merciful as an attitude of our heart. You see, there's lots of times when we do the right thing, we act the right way, and we do it to look good in front of others. We do it without a change of heart. We just kind of do it for show. And Jesus goes on in his Sermon on the Mount to talk about those who actually do what's right, but the attitude of their heart is all wrong. For example, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21, Jesus said, you've heard that it was said to people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Jesus says, you are guilty of judgment. Why? Though you did not engage in the act of murder, you have the attitude that if you could, you would. If you thought you could get away with it, man, you just love to do them in. And that's the attitude of your heart. And then in verses 27 and 28, we read there, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You know, you might not physically commit adultery, but in your heart you've done it over and over and over again. Your attitude, your disposition leaves you guilty without ever having committed the act. And then one more in chapter 6 and verse 1, Jesus said, "Be careful not to do your good acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven." In other words, you're doing what is right, but you do what you're doing so others will see it and think how good you are, how wonderful you are. And your attitude is I want them to be impressed with how good I am. And Jesus doesn't end there. He goes on to talk about when you pray and when you fast. And though these are all good things, if your attitude is I'm doing this to impress others, I'm doing it that my reputation will be seen by others and I'll have a good reputation. And God, who knows your heart, you know what? He's not impressed. It's easy to engage in all the right kinds of things and still have a heart attitude that is totally wrong. And the whole purpose of the work of Jesus Christ in us as Christians is not just to change our behavior, but it's to change our hardened, sinful heart. For when your heart is changed, the result is your behavior will change as well. You know, it's possible, really possible, to give the outward display of mercy and still be unforgiving and resentful in your heart. It reminds me of a story that I heard of two brothers, who had been fighting with each other all day long. Did you ever have that problem with your kids? Yours were angels. They never fought. And at the end of this day, this mother was so frustrated as the boys were about to go to bed. She went to the eldest of her boys and she encouraged him to make up with his brother. And he said, "I'm not going to forgive him. He always does things to bug me and get me into trouble. And he's always the one who starts it." Did you ever hear that? We did, only we didn't have two boys. We had a boy and a girl. So the mother decided that she was going to appeal to her eldest son's emotions. And she said, "Let's just suppose your brother dies tonight. Wouldn't you be sorry and you'd carry that in your conscience all your life that you never forgave him?" And the boy, he thought about that. He thought about it for a long time. And then he finally said, "All right, I'll forgive him. But if he's still alive in the morning..." Yeah. You see, it's possible to do all the right things without the slightest change of our heart attitude. Now, to be merciful is to be compassionate. And if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to understand and feel and see Jesus' compassion for people. And when you read through the Gospels looking for the compassion of Jesus, all of a sudden you find it everywhere you look. Now, let me just quickly give you a few examples. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says, "When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them." You read that over and over again. In Matthew 15, 32, feeding of the 4,000, Jesus said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have had nothing to eat, and he has compassion on them." In Matthew 20, 34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. It was two blind men as Jesus was leaving Jericho and they were sitting outside of the city. And he had compassion on them and he touched their eyes and immediately they received their eyesight. The attitude of mercy is not a checklist that you go down. Okay, I haven't murdered anyone. Check. Oh, I haven't committed adultery. Check. Give to charity. Oh, did you see my picture in the paper giving a check to charity? Yeah, so everyone can see how kind I am. I skipped that page in the record, you know. Prayer. Yeah. Do you know I have a perfect attendance at the prayer meeting? I think I just lied, but anyways. Fasting. Yes. Oh, you know what? I won't drink most of that coffee that's out there. I will only drink free trade coffee. We think we're so good, don't we? Rather, Jesus' attitude is the attitude of our heart. It's a heart attitude. That's what needs to change. Now, having said that, that mercy is an attitude of the heart, it's also a discipline. For the practical expression of mercy is in the discipline of forgiveness. And Jesus brings this out later in his Sermon on the Mount. We read it in chapter 5 and verses 23 and 24. Jesus says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there at the front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Now notice that Jesus says, if you're on your way to offer the gift, your gift at the altar, and you remember that your brother, your sister, your friend has something against you, it doesn't say which one of you was wrong. It's just, if your brother has something against you, well, first pray about it. No, it doesn't say that. You are coming to engage with God, but before you can engage with God, you had better engage with your brother, your sister, your friend, and make things right. Because if you're not in a right relationship with those around you, it will impede your relationship with God. So leave your gift. Go to your brother, your sister, your friend, and be reconciled. And then offer your gift to Jesus, to God. And this is where being merciful becomes a discipline. It's just not a nice feeling about other people, but being merciful works out in the discipline of keeping our relationships right with one another. Now finally, mercy is the means that opens the door to the working of God in our life. Back to our text, chapter 5 and verse 7. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." It is the merciful, those who are giving are the ones who receive mercy. The condition to receiving is giving. Jesus also expands on this in his Sermon on the Mount. And in chapter 6 and verse 12, in what we now know as the Lord's Prayer, but in verse 12 it says, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." You know, this prayer is saying, "Lord, would you please forgive me exactly the same way as I forgive others?" Is that a prayer that you would dare pray? That's the Lord's Prayer. And then Jesus adds in verse 14 and 15 of Matthew chapter 6, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." I don't know about you, but I find that terrifying. If you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then Jesus, in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 36, says it this way. Jesus says, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured out into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." You know, the condition to receiving is giving. You don't give to get. But if you judge, you'll be judged yourself, and that's the negative side. If you forgive, you'll be forgiven. That's the positive side. And if you give, it'll be given unto you. Those who have been the recipients of God's grace and forgiveness in their life are to give. For the condition of receiving is giving. You know, if a Christian is not merciful, they will close off the channel of receiving God's mercy and forgiveness. And I honestly believe this is a major reason for a Christian's spiritual life to dry up when they stop giving to others. You see, having experienced God's grace in your life, don't allow it to be stopped flowing to others. The grace that has flowed to us needs to flow through us to others. And if we want to be the recipient of all that God wants to give to us and do for us, but we're not willing to be that and do that and give that to others, in our relationship with them, we will end up stopping receiving ourselves. See, this is not about addressing my wants and my needs. It's about addressing the needs of others. I would venture to say that most, if not all of us, long to see spiritual revival in our land. We long to see spiritual revival in this country. We long to see spiritual revival in this community. But revival starts with me. Revival starts when we personally get our lives in line with the Beatitudes. For when you face your poverty of spirit and you mourn that poverty and you submit to Jesus Christ as Lord, you will find an appetite for righteousness that does not put you above others, but puts you in relationship with others. And it says we are merciful in our attitude towards others. And as we are forgiving, God powerfully works. Not only in your life and in my life, but he works through us to impact the lives of others around us. And it all starts with me getting my life lined up with Jesus' Beatitudes. Let's pray. Lord, it always comes back to me. My heart. My attitude. I'm the problem. And Lord, thank you. Thank you that we, as we see our poverty of spirit, that in and of ourselves there's nothing that we can do of ourselves that impresses you. That we need you, Lord Jesus. We need you in our lives. We need to come before you and receive you as Lord over all of our lives. And Lord, it's as we do that and we know you and receive you, and we have received your grace and mercy into our lives, oh, may we be loving and merciful and gracious to those around us. Lord, that you would work through us to touch those around as we have been touched in our lives. As we have freely received, may we freely give to those around. Lord, I can't save anybody. I can't change anyone's attitude. But Lord, we pray that through the experience of our lives and through our experiences of you, that we would allow you to flow through us and that we would freely give to others your love, your grace, your mercy, that you would be powerfully at work in this community for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name.